Please join me in reading from Galatians, the fourth chapter, as printed in your bulletin.
When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman.
Born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children.
And because we're children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying,
Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. According to Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male must be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came, and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Right now, or at least earlier this week, there was one of those big reader board signs standing at the bottom of Broadway, running through the heart of Everett, with a message for us to take with us into the new year. 2024 resolution. Start the 2023 resolutions. Pretty fair assessment, I think, of how such things go. I honestly don't make any anymore. I've learned by now I'm only setting myself up to fail, and I will otherwise have many other opportunities to do so in the year to come. Now, it may come as a shock to consider there's some variance among people in terms of resolve and commitment and devotion. No, not that shocking. The gospel text for this morning gives us a look at a handful of people who do this very well. Luke makes a point again and again of demonstrating Mary and Joseph's obedience to the law in bringing the infant Jesus to the temple for dedication with the appropriate sacrifice. And it brings them into interaction with fellow believers who have dedicated many more years to keeping the faith. But they all lived in a world where such devotion, though the rule on paper, could often be the exception in lived experience, where words and actions did not always match up neatly. But again, some things never change. The cartoonist Tom Toro stated it well in a drawing some years back. The caption read, "Those who don't study their history are doomed to repeat it. Yet those who do study history are doomed to stand by helplessly while everyone else repeats it." Like Mary and Joseph, the newborn Jesus, Simeon and Anna, we can't look into a crystal ball to know what precisely the future holds. But as they did, we can take a pretty good educated guess that there are dark times ahead. For us in this country, 2024 is an election year. I stumbled upon a map, actually, pointing out that there is very much of the rest of the world for this is an election year as well. So hold on tight. The conflicts the world over that we name in prayer each Sunday, and to which we seek an end, are many. There doesn't look to be a lot of snowpack up there in the mountains to carry us through coming dry summer months. There won't even be the delightful little distraction of Pac-12 football when the next fall arrives. Well, Mary and Joseph knew. We know. But it does something when someone we trust gives voice to it. "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, a sign that will be opposed, so the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." An angel had told Mary as much about her baby boy, but here it's conveyed by the understanding of a stranger, a perfect stranger for the moment, but still a confirmation from beyond their closest circle, though clearly by the Holy Spirit, kin of the Spirit, if not the flesh. And Simeon's message for the young mother of God cuts deep. Yes, many will be impacted by the coming of the Christ into this broken world, and she herself will not be exempt. No, not even the most faithful, observant, law-abiding citizens are spared from the turbulent times to come. Simeon, Anna, the two of them, yes, perhaps, they can rest in peace after witnessing the Christ. Their time has come, but their years have surely known their own great trials. It's time for the next generation to carry on the journey. By faith they have lived, and in faith they will die. Faith does not protect us from bad things happening to us. But it does assure us those things don't get to define us. They can wound us. They will shape us. But faith in God, God's faith in us, and people, God's people upholding one another in the faith, that will deliver us from evil and carry us through even the darkest night. Faith in the same child, God incarnate, who gave hope to Simeon and Anna, to Mary and Joseph, and to a whole heavenly host. That sign over Everett, just about a half a mile from where Broadway splits to become a two-lane back road to the mall, or else take you onto the freeway, It caught my attention because it's hung over Memorial Stadium, where the minor league Aqua Sox baseball team plays. Now, I started going to those games, it'll be 35 years ago this coming summer. Baseball is a funny game. Its lore and its lure demand hope springs eternal. The mantra every fan can hang on to when in 43 days, pitchers and catchers report to spring training in the brighter and sunnier skies of Arizona and Florida. For 6 months out of the year, baseball isn't played, and it's barely playable up in these parts. I guess the stadium sign on Broadway is a new marketing gimmick to help keep fans from forgetting the farm club exists in the interim. But each year, as Chicago Cubs fans could tell you between 1908 and 2016, and as Seattle Mariners fans have been saying since 1977, even as a fan's hope fades as the number of games behind in the standings grows higher and higher in the dog days of summer, well, they have another saying, there's always next year. Tomorrow is next year. And in it, in the greatest game of our lives, may our greatest hope ever spring eternal. Amen.
Amen. Amen.